Well, it's the Gospel for Glory of Jesus time. I've been looking forward to it. KRAJ 100.9 FM in Antelope Valley with Malvin Slade, my friend and my buddy. I'm glad to be here with you. So glad that God's given us this opportunity. Today, I want to deal with something that has, I found that in all the churches, I think we need more of it so that we can really, I feel, please the Lord. And I guess the message for today is we need the power to worship and strength to love. Power to worship and strength to love. Martin Luther King said, he had a book called Strength to Love. And I'm finding out more and more and more that that theological concept is the same thing that Jesus said, because he said, one of the, when he summarized the commandments, the Ten Commandments, and not the Ten Suggestions, is that we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our strength, all our mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. And then he didn't say anything about us loving ourselves. And I'm believing that God is trying to let us know he will do the loving, enough loving for us. He will love us if we do those two things. He'll take care of the love in regards to us trying to take care of ourselves. He will, when we do his business of loving people, he will take care of our business and love us. Because the thing about being one of his children is that he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth on him, believing in his words, in his life, he's the living word, he is reality. He's the ultimate reality. That if we believe in him and trust him, we shall be saved. And he wants to give us eternal life because he doesn't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want anybody to perish. And that word perish is strange because basically it's to die due to lack of knowledge. To die due to lack of information. And one thing the Father did, he sent Christ so that he could tell us everything about the Father. Tell him everything about who God is and what God expects of us. And one of the major commandments after the Ten Commandments is this, is love one another. Jesus said, love one another the way I loved you. And I'm finding in the churches that's not always happening. And I think that's a commandment that a lot of us are missing. And without that, we're going to be in trouble. So Paul, being the one that I say, is the one who is the commentator on the scriptures concerning Jesus, gives us more insight into this thing about love. And Lord knows we do need love because life is hard sometimes. Even for those that follow Jesus, it's hard sometimes to do the things that he expects of us and to love people that are unlovable. And that's when you know that you got love. When you love folk that just don't love you. And when you pray for your enemies, that God would bless them, something happened to you. Because that's just not normal, brothers and sisters. That's not natural. That's when you know you have went from being a carnal Christian to a spiritual Christian. Because now you are doing the things that God would have you to do. And you can't do it without his power or love. How do you get it? You have to get it by begging for it. You have to ask for it. You have to seek God that his Holy Spirit will be able to dwell in. You have to let him know that you're going to, and through your, not only through your talk, but through your actions, that you're going to be, that you have been showing yourself faithful, and that he can trust you with this powerful thing called love. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, the most renowned chapter of the scriptures in regards to dealing with what love truly is, agape love, what it truly is, and why I've learned more and more and more about God by understanding this wonderful chapter. Why do we need love again? We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that doesn't look like anything to what God created it to be. Because every day we confront struggle with sin. I don't know about you, but we struggle with our thoughts. We struggle with the effects of sin in our lives, from our histories. Some of the things that you're dealing with today is because of some problem or some area or some mistake you made in the past. And you still might be trying to rectify it, but God is going to fix it. The other thing is that in this wonderful chapter, God promises at the end of it that he will give us strength and power. That's one of the things that happens when you get saved, that you get the ability to of having love, power, and a sound mind. He gives you, that is one of, those are his rooted gifts that he gives us so that we can deal with life. And it's love first, then power, then a sound mind, because love influences all those things. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, I may be able to speak the language of human beings, and this is a Good News Bible, and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I don't care how great you preach or how extraordinary your oratory, if there's no love in it, it is of naught as far as God is concerned. He said, I may have the gift of inspired preaching, and that's prophecy. I may have all knowledge and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. God allows mountains to be in our lives as a test many times. Mountains of circumstances. Mountains of problems that he tests us by seeing if we're going to stop looking at our circumstances and focus on him. Because, you know, the devil, Satan, is always trying to get us to concentrate on the minors and not to major on the majors. God is trying to say, we need to look at Christ. He is the major thing. He is the major focus of our life. And if we keep our mind on him and his words and his thoughts, our minds will be transformed. They will be renewed, is what the word says. What you look at is what you become. I know a guy that he's in Hollywood, he's in movies. And when he was 13, he had a poster of this. I'm not going to talk to about who the star is and all that, but he had a poster in his room of this female actress. And every day he looked at her and said, "One day I'm going to marry her." He said, He focused on her. See, because the thing is, God made us that we are able to relate to images. We're image-driven people. The things we see and we can focus on and concentrate on. So he did this. He focused on this female, this woman, and said one day she's going to be his wife. And it was 20 years later, he was married to her. If I told you who he was, you'd say, wow, I never would have believed that. His name is Ashton Kutcher. He fell in love with Demi Moore. And he ended up marrying Demi Moore, just as he said he would, from focusing on her poster in his bedroom. Parents, watch out what's in your kid's bedroom. Anyway, but the whole thing is for us to understand that what you focus on is what you become or what you emulate or what you desire. And if they got posters of Satan and rock stars in there, it's crazy. Ozzy Osbourne and anybody else in there is... Maybe I shouldn't say it right. You better watch out. You better not cry when they start, you know, biting off the heads of bats, because they're just emulating what they are. They're emulating what they see. And so our focus is so important. So focus on Christ and you become more like him, is what the word wants us to know. You can be a martyr, it says in verse 3. You can give away all you got. I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burned. Die for the Lord. But if you have no love for the Lord, if you're none of his, he's going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. This does me no good. Now, where's the power that we need? What's the power in this scripture here? It's right here in 4. Love is patient and kind. Boy, 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 don't all of us need more patience? I don't know about you, but I know sometimes I need some, a little bit more. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. 5, love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. If you're an irritable Christian, you need some more love in your life. You need God in your life. you need them to take Christ. Christ was dealing with some knuckleheads. I mean, some disciples that we now look at them as being apostles. But while they were his disciples learning, he even wondered about them. He said, how long am I going to deal with you guys of such little faith? So if they had hard heads and they needed more love and more power, just think about us. Even the sons of thunder, they wanted to bring the lightning and thunder down on somebody they didn't, that was practicing religion according to the way Christ was, the way they understood what Christ was saying. They said, they're not one of us. We need to bring the lightning and thunder down on their heads. And he said, oh man, come on. Lord, help us. They have missed this. And this is God teaching them in the flesh. Now, if they didn't understand, what about us poor preachers? Help us, Lord. Love is not happy with evil, but it's happy with the truth. A lot of people today don't want to hear the truth, and they don't want correction. They don't want you telling them nothing but what they want to hear. And that makes it that, you know, you got to realize that being a Christian sometimes is not popular. Especially when people come to you and ask you about, well, why is Jesus the only way to heaven? Well, because he is. He's the only way. I love that movie, Sully. When he got on that plane, he let them know there's only one way out. They had to go to the front of the plane. And that's just like Christ is trying to let us know. There's only one way out. Follow the light. He's the light of the world. And we've got to follow him. Love never gives up, and it's faith, hope, and patience. They never fail. Love is eternal. That means love's always been here. God is eternal. Love is eternal. And God is love. Wow. So how can you go wrong when dealing with something that's been here forever? I'm going to skip to the last part of it. 13. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. How do you gain power? How do you do this? How do you make this chapter a reality in your life? Well, one thing that I find and I know to be true, you have to have a prayer life. You have to pray and ask for power. You got to pray and ask the Lord for love, to give you the kind of agape love that allows you to walk around and be love incarnate. It says pray without ceasing in Thessalonians. How do you pray without ceasing? You have to become a living prayer. You have to become prayer. In other words, prayer. Your morning prayer has to last a whole day. You got to learn how to come into the presence of God and let his presence remain in you no matter what's going on in your life. No matter who's messing with you, who's driving you crazy that morning or that day, you got to still remember that God is always present and he's there. And all you got to do sometimes to get your focus back is just say, Sarah Young says, just whisper Jesus. And that name, there's power in that name. It just clears you of all the insanity that's going around you. Like Rudyard Kipling said, if you can keep your head while everybody else is losing theirs, you are a man, my friend. You are a Christian, my friend, also. If you can keep your head when everybody else is losing their minds, then you have learned how to focus on the love of Christ. Satan does have distractions. Men, you know there's all kind of distraction. That television can do it. I know some of you guys are almost addicted to it, and that's an addiction you need to control. But it will send out all kind of messages, all kind of things you don't want to look at, because looking at television today is almost looking at soft porn. Some of these commercials are just ridiculous. And so you just better not go get that hamburger when Miss Turkey Burger comes on. Okay, I'm sorry. I got off the page here. Anyway, you gotta be in prayer, brothers. When you watch television, you gotta be in prayer when you answer the telephone, because you don't know who's calling and what they're gonna say to you, and you don't want to say anything that's improper over the phone lines of somebody who might be saying something that's very distracting, something that's very unkind or cruel. Because one of the things we as Christians do when we react to the things of evil, we react to it with good. We ignore those things. You got to learn how to put your armor on, put on your helmet, and understand that God wants us to understand that we have to be tough. We've got to get tougher. You got to have that thing they call tough love sometimes when dealing with people. Also, we need to understand what God's imperative is. His command is to love him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. That takes everything. That means all of everything that you've got. You've got to really fall in love with God. And you say, well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. Falling in love with God. Yeah, falling in love with him. I mean, just to jump off a cliff and know that he's going to catch you and know that his love will protect you. He says he's going to protect you from all things. Even if you, in Psalm 91, stumble and you fall, he's got you. He's going to take care of you. And so you're not going to, you can trust him. There's some people you can't do that with. Hopefully, if you're married, you fall in love with someone who you can trust, who you know is going to protect you from all hurt, harm, and danger. Protect your heart, that is. They're not going to do anything that's going to destroy your spirit in regards to your relationship. God said you can trust him. You can give him everything you got. And if you do that, now he's going to give you everything he's got. And you know what? He got a whole lot more than I got. I got some bills. I got old cars. I got problems. I need help. But he gives us everything he's got. Thank God for his love and power and his truth that endures forever. He cannot lie. So, wow, man. People can, but he can't. Also, to deal with that, once he gives us also, he gives us his gifts and his fruit and his talent to be able to combat this, dealing with this crazy world that we live in. He also promises us he will never leave us. He'll never leave us alone. He'll always try to goad us into change, into repentance, and to becoming better than what we think we are. We can do it. And when we fall short or drift away, he helps us to be able to come back to his everlasting arms. He has a way of wooing us through the Holy Spirit. He loves us back into his way of life. You know, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. When life doesn't go the way we think it should, or we think it's supposed to go, God will work it out. That's important when we focus on him to understand his perspective. When God looks down on a man, he can be 5 feet tall, 6 feet tall, or 8 feet tall. When God looked down on Goliath, he looked like he was the same height as David. Because he had a different perspective. We have to understand that. And don't be talking about, well, I'm going to take my little problems to God. My big problems to God. The little problems I'll fix. You can't even fix the little problems. So you might as well just go on and take everything to God from the get-go. At the get-go, that's an old saying. Y'all know what I'm saying. And be through with it. Give everything to him. I say just take and hand it to him in your prayers. Lord, I'm depressed. Here. Lord, I need your strength. Here. Lord, I'm falling short. Here. Lord, I got some bills. Here, give me another job, Lord. I need this, I need that. But, Lord, I love you. And I praise your name, and I want to worship you in spirit and truth. Worship in German means to kiss the face of God. So, if you're not in church, you need to find a place where you can go, where you can kiss the face of God. You can come in among other believers and learn how to do that. I'm going to finish with this. It's a little poem by Annie Johnson Flint. It says, God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. That's Annie Johnson Flint, and I'm Bishop George Todd, and I love you with agape love. And if you ask for it, he'll give it to you. The power to love and strength to endure. He'll give you that power that you need to worship him if you give all your love to him. In Jesus' name, we pray now. Lord, bless us now. Bless all those who heard my voice today. and I hope heard my spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.